بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As thought follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll conclude bi-idhnillahi ta'ala Surah Al-Shams, and bi-idhnillah next week we'll begin with Surah Al-Layl. And we are with the last subject of this surah, and that is from qawlihi ta'ala kathabat thamudu bi-taghwaha. We explained this last week, but just to recap on a few things before we begin with idhin ba'atha ashqaha. Of course, what I just wanted to highlight is why was the story of Thamud mentioned here as opposed to all the other nations. We said for two reasons. The reason is that the Arabs were more familiar and they knew Thamud more than any other nation. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the tribe of Thamud and what they did and how Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them and what He did to them, because the people of Thamud are more known to the Arabs, so it's more relevant to them, they can relate to themselves. We're going to find out how as we move along to the end of the surah. The other thing is, Thamud was known to the Arabs that they were destroyed due to their corruption. In other words, Thamud was known for their corruption to the Arabs, and that they were destroyed because of their corruption. So it serves as a very good example for Quraysh. We'll see again as we move along to the end of the surah. And one more point was that Allah Azza wa Jal began the surah by saying وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. He took an oath by the sun, and then He took an oath by the soothing light, the glow of the sun. And then we said that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the people of Thamud in this surah because, as opposed to all the other nations, the nation of Thamud and the sign they were given, the miraculous sign they were given, which was the she camel, that was the most brightest of signs among all the signs of the prophets. Except of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his miracle, it is different compared to all the other prophets, because his miracle, which is the Quran, it's audio, it's a sound, you hear it. But all the other prophets, it was a visual sign. So it was something that the eye can see, whereas the Quran is something that the ear hears. So out of the signs that were seen, the most brightest of them was the camel. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Atayna Thamud an-naqata mubsiratan," that we gave Thamud the camel after they requested it, they asked for it, they were given that camel, and it was wadhuhaha. Basically, it was the brightest thing that a community or a town's people can have. And even then, they rebelled against their messenger. Allah said, "Kathabat Thamud." That Thamud, they lied. Lied against what? Lied against their prophet. And they lied against the sign that came with the prophet. And what was the reason of their lying? بِطَغْوَاهَا, as a result of their rebellion. They rebelled, therefore this is why they lied. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. We already learned, the one who puts his nafs in the dust, the one who disregards his nafs, he's setting himself up for major disappointment on the Day of Judgment. So khaba, we learned that khaba was when you run away from, when you run after something, you get it, but then you realize that this is not the thing you expected. So you wanted something, but you realized it wasn't it. That's khab. And so man dassaha, Allah Azza wa Jal says that the most unfortunate person is the one who doesn't take advantage of this amazing nafs that Allah gave him and this amazing balance that Allah put inside of him. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us an example of a horrible nafs in history which rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah now is giving us an example of someone who disregarded his nafs and someone who just threw his nafs in the dust. Who's this person? He says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. Allah says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ, when he rose quickly all on his own. In other words, he took initiative all by himself. The word بَعَثَ means to rise. بَعَثَ means to rise. إِذِمْ بَعَثَ, it means to rise all on your own. So in other words, this man, he took initiative all by himself. أَشْقَاهَا, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. أَشْقَاهَا, the worse, the most evil, the most wretched, the most wicked, the most corrupt of them when he got up quickly. And you know, when you commit a crime, you commit it very quickly. So Allah is saying, إِذِن بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا, that the worst one and the most evil among the people of Thamud, he got up quickly by himself to commit this horrible crime that Allah will tell us about. Now just let me tell you the story in brief, so you can know where we're heading here. Thamud is the name of the tribe. Salih alayhi salam is the prophet that was sent to this tribe. And their dwellings are very famous, and they're still up in what's known as Tabuk in Saudi Arabia. Thamud, they lied against Salih alayhi salam. And Salih alayhi salam is like all the other prophets that Allah Azza wa Jal sent to the people. And he had the same message like all other prophets. He invited them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided him with a miracle, so that his message could be more believable, so that if people saw a miracle, they would say, okay, now we accept that he's the prophet. And his miracle, of course, was a giant she camel that came out of a boulder. It just came out of a rock. And the deal was that this camel, this she camel, will drink from the well one day, and the second day the people will drink from the well. And the day the she camel drinks from the well, they get to drink her milk. So there was a good deal. Now when Salih alayhi salam told them that the she camel will have the drink one day and you'll have the drink the next day, yani it'd be half-half, they said, we can't stand this. You know, this is not going to work with us. So they went and complained to their leaders. But the leaders in the town, they were kind of reluctant. They were unwilling to take any action, right? They were kind of afraid. They said, look man, just leave it and let it drink one day and you go the other day. Just leave the matter, don't do anything. These are the leaders. Now, there were 9 men in the town. And these 9 men in the town, Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about them in the Quran. They were the sons of the leaders. They were the sons of the chiefs. And they were known for mischief. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They would cause trouble in the earth. وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ, and they would not reform. They would basically don't contribute to any yani goodness for the land. Basically, you can say these 9 were gangsters. They were troublemakers. تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now these 9 men, what they did is that they went around the town. Once at night, they went around the town and they took a bay'ah from everyone in the town. They took a pledge of allegiance from everyone in the town. And they took this approval from everyone that we're going to kill the she-camel. Everyone is good, everyone accepts it. And they went around the town and this is what they did bay'ah on. Now, of these 9, one of them, his name is mentioned in some of the ahadith, some of the tafaseer. But some of us Sirun didn't write his name in their tafsir. Why? They said his name is unnecessary and his name should be forgotten. And because Allah Azza wa Jal never made mention of his name should be forgotten and it should not be made mention. So one of them, he gets up and he was like, I can handle this and I'm going to take this on. I'll take care of the problem. I'll kill the camel. Anyway, he goes to slaughter, or he goes and attempts to slaughter this she camel. And the way he kills it, Allah says, عطر, the word عطر, which we're going to read later on and we'll find out what it means. But what it means is that he didn't kill it right away. He killed it in such a way that he caused a slow, painful death to it. In other words, he was not being rebellious. He was being rebellious in the worst, worst possible fashion, which is the word fujur in the beginning of the surah. And the word fujur, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, is to rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal in the worst possible way. And since he is أَشْقَاهَا, he's the worst of them, he did the worst possible thing, right? This is what Allah is giving us of an example. And notice, the one who will do such a horrible crime, obviously he has no fear, or he has no fear for consequence, no fear for punishment. He'll do the crime, he doesn't care what's going to happen after it, because he's going to do a horrible crime. And you know, he's like the person that'll say, what's going to happen to me? You know, what's going to happen? Who's going to stop me? That sort of attitude. which has already been highlighted in the previous surah when Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَيَحْسَبُ أَلَّن يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ. Did the human being, did he assume that no one has control over him? For subhanAllah, Allah told us that in the previous surah. Now he's giving us an example. This wretched, this evil person in the people of Thamud, he's the one that thought Allah Azza wa Jal will have no control over him, and he thought that Allah Azza wa Jal would not see him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَهَا. Then the messenger of Allah, he said, especially to them, Allah said, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. لَهُمْ is مُقَدَّم, which means it's brought earlier. And normally you'd say, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ. But Allah said, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the messenger of Allah, of course, which is Salih alayhi salam, he said, especially to them, meaning the ones who had the intention to attack the she-camel, those nine, he especially said to them. Why? Because Salih alayhi salam, he caught them in the act. He caught them planning what they wanted to do, and they wanted to kill the camel. So he said to them, watch out, don't do this. And how did he say this to them? He said to them, ناقت الله. Now Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say that Salih said to them. Allah didn't say, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ صالح. He said, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Why did he say Rasulullah? Why didn't he say Salih? Why? Because who's listening to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as he's reciting this surah? Quraysh. Quraysh are listening. And the mention of Salih may not be relevant to Quraysh. They won't pay attention. Among Quraysh is back in the days, Quraysh and Salih told them in the day, so it's not relevant to us. But the phrase Rasulullah is relevant to them because it applied to Salih, he was Rasulullah, and it also applies to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's also Rasulullah. So now we're learning here that this is not just the story Allah is telling us. This is a message for now. They were destroyed, and you're being threatened. You're being warned by Allah Azza wa Jal. And so they are destroyed, and their destruction is a threat for you, ya Quraysh. Now Allah says, Naqatallah. You see this fatha, an-naqata, this fatha, this is what makes the word mansub. And this nasub state, basically, it's out of the Arabic grammar. And there are about 16 reasons that the noun can be mansub. It can have a fatha on it. One of the reasons is at-tahdhir, to warn of danger. What it means is, I'll give you an example so you can understand, naqatallah. You know, if there's a car outside in the parking, there's a car and there's a child running outside. And if I want to tell the child that there's a car, watch out, there's a car. I'll tell the child, as-sayyarata, as-sayyarata. I'll pull a fatha on the sayyarata at the end. That would mean, watch out, beware, look out for the car. And this is used in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about speaking inappropriately about the sahaba, he said, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. In other words, what does that mean? It means watch out for Allah. Beware of Allah when it comes to talking about my companions. Now, how did he say it? He said, Allah, Allah. He put a fatha. And that means watch out. Be careful when you talk about the sahaba that you don't speak anything inappropriately. And that was the fatha at the end. So that fatha at the end, it's للتحذير. It warns. Now, he said, نَاقَتَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَتَ اللَّهِ. Means, watch out. That is the she-camel of Allah. Watch out, don't touch it. If he said, naqatullah, that would have meant the she-camel of Allah. But naqatullah, beware of the she-camel of Allah. Don't touch it. So he's going out of his way, Salih alayhi salam, to warn them. They don't realize the consequences of what they are going to put themselves in. And remember, the one who is going to disregard his nafs, he's setting himself up for major disappointment. خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. But they are running after something, right? We said, خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. خَابَ is to run after something. What is this person running? He is running after something, and that is to kill the camel. But when they get it, and when they kill the camel, he will realize that it was a bad idea. So this is an example of خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He's rushing. If imba'atha means to rush, he's rushing to kill the camel. Eventually we'll see he'll kill it, but then it's not what he expected. He thought something else. He thought maybe now we have the world every day. But then all of a sudden he realizes that the punishment of Allah is close. It's going to come with us. So this is an example of وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He rushed to gain something, but then when he looked at what he got, he realized that this wasn't it. This was what, he didn't want this. It was the punishment of Allah that was coming. And that's why, and that's what's being explained here, but with a practical example of someone that did khaba man dassaha, someone that actually did disregard and threw his nafs in the dust. Now, so he said, يعني صالح عليه السلام, he said, ناقت الله وسقيها, meaning beware the she camel of Allah, وَسُقْيَاهَا, and beware its drink. Meaning its time of drink and its place of drink. Watch out. Don't violate either of these two. Don't kill it. And don't come near the water when it's the time for the camel to drink from the water. You better realize how serious this crime is going to be if you come near these things. This is what's implied when he says to him, نَاقَتَ اللَّهِ. It's like he's shouting it out. نَاقَتَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا. But do these people, did they take this warning seriously? Allah Azza wa Jal says after this, فَكَذَّبُوهُ. Then they lied against him. Now him is being mentioned, which is Salih alayhi salam. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. Two crimes are being mentioned here. Allah didn't just say فَعَقَرُوهَا. They killed it, they slaughtered it. Aqr, basically what aqr is, let me explain to you this word so I can give you these two crimes, what's happening. Aqr is actually the practice of stabbing the camel a little bit. Or you know how the camel has two sets of knees? It's to chop the bottom part of its limb so that you make it immobile, it won't be able to move, and it bleeds a slow bleeding until it dies. That's aqr. A slow bleeding until it dies. Or it could be as well a stab. It's stabbed. And it's just given time that the blood, until all the blood drains out of it, then it dies. For really slow, painful death is what aqr is. Also in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave permission to kill the kalb al-aqur. He called him aqur, the same word. Which, what's a kalb al-aqur? A kalb al-aqur is the dog which is ready to bite you to the point that is ready to make you bleed. So that was al-kalb al-aqur, the same word. Anyway, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just say that that was the crime they did, that they just slaughtered it and killed it, that they attacked the she-camel. That's bad enough. That crime is bad enough. But before that, he said, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. They lied against the messenger. So now two crimes here. The first is that they lied against the messenger. And the second is they attacked the she-camel. Now, listen to this. What Quraysh are being told is that you people are already criminals. Why? Because Quraysh have already lied against the messenger. فَكَذَّبُوهُ, they're already doing this. And we were told in the previous surah that they wanted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, and your blood has been made halal in this city. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to them, look, you've done the first crime. If you take it a step further and do like Thamud, which they aqaruha, they killed the camel. If you're going to take that initiative, the second one, and try to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then understand that that won't be your first crime. Your first crime has already been committed. That is lying against him, and you will be facing some serious consequences, just like what Thamud experienced, and Allah will tell them. If they forgot how Thamud was destroyed, Allah is going to tell them right now. So lying against the messenger, they're already engaged in a crime that is lying against him, and you are going to make this even worse in your fujur if you go and try to commit this crime and kill him. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. Let me tell you something about this word, فَعَقَرُوهَا. فَعَقَرُوهَا is a plural. They killed it, right? They killed it. And of course, we know from the narrations that only one person got up and killed it, because Allah says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. The most evil, the most wretched, the most wicked, the most corrupt of them, he got up all by his own and went and killed it. So why did Allah say, they killed it? Right? This فَعَقَرُوهَا, the ulama, they refer it back to the whole town. They said that the whole town killed it. What does that mean? You know, in any crime, or in most of the crimes that are committed, there are always three parties. Always three parties. There's the one who commits the crime. There's the one who commits the crime, al-qatil, the one that kills. There's the amir, the one who commands the crime. And there's ar-radi, the one who is pleased with the crime. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, although one person killed them, He said they killed it because among the entire town there was the killer, there was the one who commanded the killing, and the whole town was already had taken a bay'ah on this and an approval on it, and no one sort of came out the next day to condemn this action and to say, what are you people doing? A'udhu billah, this is the naqa of Allah and Allah's punishment. No one said this. They all kept quiet. And since they kept quiet, that means they're pleased with the action. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَعَقَرُوهَا, they all killed it. And so this is what you need to understand, that a crime is never just done by one person. There are three people involved in the crime. There's the one that commits, the one that commands for it to be committed, and the one that is quiet, pleased. Yani that doesn't care about anything. You just, well, it happened, it didn't happen, I don't really care. And this person, Allah Azza wa Jal, put him in the group of عَقَرُوهَا. So he faces the same punishment like he killed. So Allah said, فَعَقَرُوهَا, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. They lied against him, and therefore because they lied, they painfully and mercilessly slaughtered it. Yani meaning the camel, the she camel, they killed it. Very painful death. After they killed it, Salih alayhi salam, he came out really angry. And he promised them a punishment that is near. And he said, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ. He said, my people, enjoy your houses, enjoy whatever you have for 3 days, and by Allah, the punishment is very, very near. So the narrations mentioned that the first day, their faces became yellow. The second day, their faces became red. They're all awaiting the punishment. They understood that the punishment is getting very near and it's close. The third day, their faces became black. And on the fourth day, they came out. And they came out of their dwellings. They were inside of the house thinking that they can escape the punishment. On the fourth day they came out and they had shrouded themselves, prepared to die. And they were waiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. فَدَمْدَمَ. In Arabic it's used to destroy. فَدَمْدَمْ, to destroy. But this destruction is a bit different. Damdam means to pound someone or something to the ground so much so that they become one with the ground. Even from the word, you can actually illustrate this in your mind. Damdam, damdam, like it repeats itself. So it's pounding, over pounding, over pounding until they become one with the ground. They became immersed in the ground. You know, we don't see this nowadays. And we've never seen something like this. Perhaps you might see something like this in the cartoons or something, like a Tom and Jerry, when he basically flattens him and he makes him like a paper. And then he pops back up. But that's dam-dam, to flatten, to make one, to make level with the ground. This is dam-dam. To crush until it becomes completely level with the ground. The Arabs would say, dam-damtu al-bi'r. What did that mean? Al-bi'r, of course, is the well. But damdamtu al-bi'r would mean that I filled the well with dirt and I filled it until I made it one with the earth. I made it level. So now you don't know where the well is, because I filled it with dirt that now it became level. And so this is the act of damdam. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying He did that to them. He completely crushed them and He pounded them. Also, damdam, according to Lisan al-Arab, it implies that it's a form of punishment from which there is absolutely no escape. Why is this important? Of course, this is the punishment of Allah in this dunya. Allah is talking about damdama alayhim rabbuhum, He in this world. Yeah, but the word damdam, it implies that it punished them in such a way there was no escape. And this is connected with the punishment Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the previous surah, Surah Al-Balad, in where He said, He didn't just say in that surah, alayhim nar, upon them is a fire. He said, alayhim narun mu'sada, upon them is a fire that is covered. And you recall that we said from the word mu'sada, what it implies is that it's covered so that there is no escape whatsoever. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned a word in this surah to describe a punishment that there is no escape from. And in the previous surah, he spoke to us of the day of judgment and the punishment that happens on that day. And he added the word mu'sada also to give us the understanding that over there, there's no escape as well. So here and there, there is no escape from the punishment of Allah once it comes. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ Their Lord pounded them. Their master pounded them. And the word Allah used, and sorry, Allah didn't use his name. Allah didn't say, فَدَمْدَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ That Allah pounded them. He used رَبِّهِمْ فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ He used رَبُّهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ means their Lord. Why did he use this as opposed to his name Allah? To suggest that he had control over them all along. He was their Rabb all along. See the difference. The name Allah is the proper name for who we worship. But the name Rabb is a attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means the master. And when you think of the master, what's opposite to the master? The slave. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, I was their master all along. They were my slaves. I had them controlled all along. So it was best to use the word رَبُّهُمْ فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا So then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ Why did He pound them? Why did He smash them? Why were they destroyed? Allah says, because of ذَنْبِهِمْ This ba' means because of. What's the reason? ذَنْبِهِمْ Remember this. They lied. Why did they lie? In the beginning of, just before these ayat. Why did Thamud lie? Allah said, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودْ بِطَغْوَاهَا They lied because of their rebellion. Now Allah is telling us they got crushed completely because of ذَنْبِهِمْ Because of their sin. The word ذَنْب, in Arabic it means sin. But in the Quran, many words are used for sin. There's ithm, there's khati'a, there's sayyi'a. But ذَنْب specifically comes from the word ذَنَب. And ذَنَب is the tail of an animal. You know, a tail of an animal isn't bad in itself, but what comes out of it is bad. So ذَنْب is used for any kind of sin. For example, it could be used for something very small, and it could be used for really huge sins. For example, Musa alayhi salam, he says, وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْب They have a crime against me. What was he referring to in that crime? The killing, that one when he killed that person. That was a big crime, killing someone. So he referred to what a ذَنْب was used. ذَنْب is also used where something that should have made you shame, something that should have made you ashamed and embarrassed, that's also ذَنْب. Because the tail is a place of embarrassment. It's the tail of an animal is a place of embarrassment. And when the Arab, when they used to make poetry about their pride, they would say, we are like the nose of a lion, because the nose is the place of pride. And when they wanted to humiliate someone, they would say, you are like a tail, because the tail is something of humiliation and embarrassment. Now, the idea here is that they did something. That person, or this Thamud, they did something that they should have themselves been ashamed of. That's why he called it ذَنْب. It was something that was very embarrassing. It was something very shameful. It was a shameful, embarrassing act. That's what the ذَنْب is capturing here. Something that their nafs should have spotted out already. Because for ذَنْب, you don't need a fatwa, remember. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا For a ذَنْب, you can tell. On your own, you can tell if it's a ذَنْب or not. Because it's a shameful, embarrassing act. So Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them because of their ذَنْب. Because of their shameful embarrassment. Because of their sin. And why does Allah Azza wa Jal mention this? Why does Allah tell us that He destroyed them because of their sin? Because He wants to teach us that He does not oppress anyone. People bring the punishment unto themselves. So Allah Azza wa Jal is just. Allah لا يظلم الناس شيئا. Allah doesn't just Allah Azza wa Jal. He does not oppress anyone. So he mentioned it here, so Quraysh can get the understanding that if you are going to be destroyed, understand that you brought the destruction upon yourself, just like Thamud brought the destruction upon themselves when they committed their ذنب. And Allah Azza wa Jal says this in many places of the Quran. One of the very famous places in Surah Al-Rum, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. He said that evil, corruption, has appeared on land, on earth, because of what the hands of the people have earned. It's because of your sin. That's why you're in what you're in. Right? And this is some of the Salaf, رحمهم الله تعالى, that when he used to, he would say, إني لأرى أثر ذنبي في أهلي ودابتي. He used to say, I would see the effect of my sin on my wife and on my transport. So when he gets back home after a long day and his wife is kind of acting weird towards him and just the situation is not right, he'd say that I did something today and I'm being punished, that's why my wife is like this. Or he'd come on his camel and the camel would refuse to walk. Or the camel would die. Or the camel is just sick. He'd come back and he'd say, this is because of what I did. Right? Allah is giving me a taste of what I did. This is how they would see the sin, as opposed to today. Now, people blame this and other. Blame yourself first, Allah is saying. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us. Be them, be him, with your own sin. That's why the destruction and the punishment comes. Any trial, tribulation you're in is because of your sin. And for a believer, you're in that because Allah wants to cleanse you. Right? And this surah, it taught us about the cleansing process. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. It's just how you see يعني, this upon yourself. Okay, so Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Then he says, فَسَوَّاهَا. فَسَوَّاهَا, then he made all of them flat. فَسَوَّاهَا, to flatten out something, to balance it out. فَسَوَّاهَا. Remember, this word سَوَّاهَا came before. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Remember when he spoke about the nafs, and he said, I swear by the nafs, and how amazing the balance, and how amazing it's flattened out, and it's evened out and balanced out. So he made the town evened out. Look how beautiful this is. The word here, balance and harmony, is appropriate because these corrupt people, they had created chaos and disorder in society. They created chaos and disorder in society when they lied against Salih alayhi salam and when they killed the camel. And the way that Allah Azza wa Jal restores order again is sawwaha. He balanced them and he flattened them out so he can get the balance back. So he balanced and created harmony and evened them out. And literally also they were one with the ground. And you wouldn't even know that there were people there. The land was flat and the remains of their bodies just immersed and sunk in the ground. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal crushed them. Now this is a very important principle that we need to understand here. And this principle in Arabic says, Al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. So a rough translation would be, recompense comes in the form of the deed. Recompense comes in the form of the deed. In other words, you are going to get what you did. Now, the sin, their sin, the sin of Thamud, listen to very carefully, it's important. The sin of Thamud was that they lied against the messenger and killed the she-camel. Allah called that, what did he call it? Bitaghwaha, right? Allah called that bitaghwaha. That was their rebellion. How did they rebel? By lying against the Prophet and killing the she-camel. Alright. And the punishment that Allah sent upon them, in Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah says, فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. So they did بِطَغْوَاهَا, Allah gave them بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. What's بِالطَّاغِيَةِ? بِالطَّاغِيَةِ was الصَّيْحَةِ. It was the loud sound. But Allah called it الطَّاغِيَةِ because sound has a limit. This طَاغِيَةِ, it rebelled beyond its limit. It was a loud sound, it was above normal. And because it was above normal, therefore as a result they were destroyed. So they, Allah Azza wa Jal, said that they lied بِطَغْوَاهَا. طَغْوَاهَا comes from the word طَغَى. What does طَغَى mean? طَغَى means to rebel. You have a border, you're boxed, you gotta be in here. You can't do this and do this and do that. If you lie against the Prophet, that's outside the box. If you kill the she-camel, that's outside the box. That means you walked out. You طَغَى, you rebelled, you walked out. Because they did this, Allah punished them with exactly the same thing. He punished them with a sound, but it wasn't a normal sound. sound is like, you can think of sound as this is the limit for sound. You know how sometimes the stereo, there's maximum. After that, it doesn't go up. That's the maximum for the sound. But this sound that Allah sent upon them was over maximum. So in other words, it came out of the maximum box. So that was a tughyan. So Allah called it, فَأَمَّا ثَمُودْ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّغِيَةِ. Because they came out of the box, Allah gave them a punishment that also came out of the box, and as a result, they died. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He concludes the surah. Powerful conclusion. He says, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. And He, meaning Allah, that's the majority opinion, and He, Allah, doesn't fear its consequence. The consequence of having destroyed them. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not fear the consequence. Why? Because He owns everything. Why? Who's He going to fear? What that means? The most evil of them, He killed the she-camel. Watch this again. That al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. That what you do, you'll be punished exactly with what you do. Now the most evil of them, ashqaha, He killed the she-camel. And He didn't fear any consequence as well. But He killed it, He didn't care. Otherwise, if He cared, He would have killed it. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish them with? He said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. He said that Allah Azza wa Jal, He destroys them, and Allah doesn't fear the consequence. Doesn't fear the consequence. Now, let us appreciate this a bit more, inshallah ta'ala. The surah has been talking about someone who doesn't fear the consequences, right? قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. I don't care, put the soul wherever, I don't care what I do, because Allah is going to do nothing, big deal. This is what the surah has been talking about so far. The nafs that has become corrupt. He doesn't care about anything, and he can do something as terrible as attempting to lie against the messenger, kill the she-camel. He can also rebel against Allah's miraculous signs after seeing it with his own very eyes. Even that's not enough for him, because he doesn't think anything is going to happen to him. Allah Azza wa Jal says, you are not the one who shouldn't be worried that who's going to come after you. The only one who is free of worry is who? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. When He punishes, there's no fear or concern of what people are going to say or what people are going to think of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. You know, so maybe nowadays there'll be philosophy classes. The professor will come, he'll say, you know, what kind of Lord, what kind of God is this that destroys nations? He doesn't fear it. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Allah doesn't fear these words. He is not afraid of your comments. Why? Because He executes justice. Allah doesn't oppress. So why is He going to fear what your comment is going to say? You know, the missionaries, these people that come to the house, they come to you, they knock on the door, they say, your Lord or your God is a God of punishment, but our God is a God of mercy. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. He doesn't fear these words. Allah doesn't care about these words. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. And so, He does not fear its consequence. In other words, when you do something like this, in other words, when you punish someone, that someone is going to retaliate one day. You punish someone now, he's going to come after you, but you don't know when. He might come after you, might not, but there's a possibility he's going to come after you. Who's going to retaliate against Allah if Allah Azza wa Jal executed the punishment? No one. So this is وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. He does not fear the consequences of what he's going to do. Why? Because everything he does is justice. It is not oppression. It's different to people nowadays. Someone commits a crime, or he's got to fear consequences because he oppressed such a person, right? فَسُبْحَانَ وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Finally, just a little bit more on the word عُقْبَاهَا. Now typically the word عُقْبَاهَا comes from the word عَاقِبَة. But Allah uses عُقْبَاهَا, and other places He uses the word عَاقِبَة. Like for example, الْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Basically it means the ending of something. عُقْبَه is the مُبَالَغَة of عَاقِبَة. عُقْبَاهَا, this one in this surah, is the mubalagha. It's a much more emphasized version than aqibah. What does that mean? That means even if there's an enormous consequence, he is not afraid of it. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. See, the biggest, the worst kind of consequence you can imagine, it is not enough to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afraid. Whatever punishment he is going to decide and he'll execute. Whatever thing you're going to think of in terms of retaliating against Allah, Allah is saying عُقْبَاهَا. Bring as big as the biggest retaliation you can think of, There's nothing that will worry or fear Allah, make Allah Azza wa Jal afraid of. This is وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. This comes to the end of the surah. And يعني, subhanAllah, there is also something very beautiful in the surah, is that Thamud were destroyed, Allah destroyed them with الصيحة. الصيحة, right? This is mentioned in the surah. الصيحة, I told you, it's the loud sound, a deafening sound that kills. Now, Thamud, they lied against the minor sayha which came to them. That was their punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He teaches us that later on there will be the ultimate sayha. That is on the Day of Judgment. You know, Day of Judgment, one of the names of the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Sayha. On the day where there will be a loud sound, everyone that hears it will just fall in his place and die. So now look at this. Thamud, they lied against their Prophet. They lied against the sayha. They lied against the sayha because he promised them of a sayha if you do this. If you kill it, there's punishment coming, which is the sayha. They didn't care, they didn't believe him. They tasted the sayha now, which means that the fact they tasted the minor sayha already proves that there is a major sayha awaiting. When does this major sayha occur? When the beginning of this surah, its events change. What's the beginning of the surah? وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. What's opposite to duhaha? When it becomes dark. We know one of the signs of Yawmul Sayha is that the sun will lose its light and it will wrap around. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. When that happens, a sayha will happen. Also, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. The qamar will die away as well. It's light. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. It will become dull and stale in color and it will fall from the sky. That's the ending of it. Once that happens, once the harmony in the universe is disrupted, that's Yawmul Sayha. For subhanAllah, Idh Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned to us about Thamud lying against the smaller Sayha, because they tasted the minor Sayha, that would mean that the major Sayha is 100% occurring and it's certainty. When will it happen? It will happen when the beginning four ayat of this surah turn, will become opposite to each other, opposite to what they are. That's when the big sayha will happen, and this basically is the Day of Judgment. We've already discovered and seen this in the previous surah when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the Day of Judgment. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. In the other surah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. And the other surah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. We spoke about all this. For this, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, we come to the conclusion of the surah, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, we'll get into Surah Al-Layl. Surah Al-Layl. Now, one more thing. In Surah Al-Shams, when we understood of what Allah Azza wa Jal did to these people because of how corrupt their nafs is, now one becomes, he's looking forward to understand how does one cleanse and purify his nafs, right? We just learned how Allah destroyed someone because he disregarded his nafs. So now we are ever concerned in how does one clean himself so he doesn't become like the most evil of the people of Thamud. Now this surah will teach us exactly how do you clean your nafs when Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.